Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be called desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over his bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Thus far, the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture. We consider on the occasion of installation, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have installed 3 new elders and 2 new deacons into their respective holy offices. And the text that we consider this morning on that occasion has a few words to say with regard to the office of elder. That does not mean that the office of deacon is neglected. And as far as the text speaks fundamentally and most generally to the office bearer in the church, the text also speaks to the deacon who also has been lifted up to a high and a holy office, and a deacon who shares, in a certain sense, oversight in the church of Jesus Christ, especially over the poor and the indigent and the sick, but also has a certain calling to pay regard to the life and the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ. I do not apologize for my focus on the office of elder this morning. I have had my practice and my ministry here in this congregation to alternate yearly between speaking on the office of elder and the office of deacon, but for the past few years, I have addressed exclusively almost the office of elder. That is because the office of elder is faced with a host of problems today. I dare say that the office of elder is an office in crisis today. The office of elder faces all of the problems and the sins that manifest themselves in the increasingly wicked and godless world in which the church lives. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that is found in the world that has not also of late been found in the church. To add to that burden of the office of elder, there is trouble for the office of elder because in facing those issues, troubles, and sins that arise in the Church of Jesus Christ also, the elders face a host of ignorant and uninformed criticism and critique of their work. That burdens the elder. It is not that the elder cannot handle critique and criticism of his work, so long as that critique and criticism of his work is informed by the Word of God. But the criticism and critique that the elders frequently face is a stubborn opposition to their work that arises out of a studied and deliberate ignorance. A studied and deliberate ignorance that is also fueled by pride. A pride that does not shun from harshly criticizing a work of which that person has no knowledge whatsoever. So that the elders not only face the burden of the work, but they face the burden of those ignorant and stubborn criticisms by those who don't even bother to inform themselves in a most general way about the troubles that the elders face, let alone the specific case that they take upon themselves to critique. This shows that the office of elder exists today in the church, in the perilous times of which the apostle spoke in Timothy. Perilous times in which men are proud, heady, high-minded, lovers and boasters of themselves. And that too, the reality of life in Zion today is that there are many who have a form of godliness but deny its power. Their godliness is a hollow and empty shell. All of this the elder must confront and deal with by means of the Word of God. There is little rest for them. The men enter the office fresh, beginning their term of 3 years, and they end their term exhausted. I don't say that to garner sympathy for the elder in his work. They were called there and put there by God to wear themselves out in the office of the elder. They do God's work, and they will answer to God alone. They receive their strength and their assurance from God Himself. But I say this unapologetically to explain why I emphasize yet again to the congregation the office of elder, and why I call the congregation in the name of God on the basis of this text to receive their office bearers from God. God speaks in the text. I set watchmen on the walls of Zion. No man set them there. The men did not set themselves there. God set them there. And God who set them there speaks to Zion. I set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem. That's a word to Jerusalem. The text is not, first of all, a word to the elder, although the text certainly has a word to the elder. Ye that make mention of the name of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest. But the text is, first of all, a word to Zion. I set watchmen on thy wall, O Zion. Let us consider then the text under that theme. Watchmen on your walls, O Zion. Notice that they are always watching. Notice that they are always vocal. And notice finally, they are always praying. Watchmen set upon the walls of Zion are a gracious gift of the triune God through Jesus Christ, through the church. Not all watchmen, however, set on the walls of Zion are a gracious gift from Jehovah God. By saying that, I do not deny that all watchmen ultimately are from Jehovah God, who sets up one and who casts down another. But Jehovah God can give to the church watchmen in His wrath. Watchmen that are a terrible judgment upon the tepid and the superficial spirituality of the church. Isaiah spoke of that too in an earlier chapter. Zion had received such watchmen. Such watchmen operated upon Zion's walls, and such watchmen were a curse to Zion. His watchmen, Isaiah said, are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Blind, ignorant, dumb watchmen. Self-interested, lazy, slumbering watchmen. Watchmen who are utterly incapable of knowing the truth about Jehovah God, knowing the state of the congregation, knowing how to address a problem, knowing even how to speak. They sit silently, adorning the bench, doing nothing worthwhile in the church. Worse, damaging the church because of their lazy, dumb self-interest. Cursed watchmen. Just because a watchman exists in the office does not mean that he is a good watchman. Let him be proved. Let him be proved by the standard of the text. The goodness of the watchman, the worth of the watchman, and the benefit of the watchman to the church and the glory of God is tested by the standard of the text, and this text alone. For there is much about watchmen that men call evil that God calls good. And there is much about watchmen that men calls good that God calls evil. The watchman is not tested as to his worth and his goodness by the standard and evaluation and judgment of men. The watchman is tested solely and exclusively by the Word of God. So today, there are elders who are not highly valued at all. They speak from the Word of God. They speak sharply from the Word of God. They warn and caution everyone against his ruin. That elder that is a bitter foe of all that besmirches the name, honor, and glory of God. The elder that is therefore constantly on watch in the church of Jesus Christ. The elder who will not keep silent. That elder is viewed as a troublemaker, as an interloper, as not a good team player, a stick in the mud. He might never get elected again. Or because that elder shows what men regard as an annoying habit of bringing everything back to principles. A man that will not take the road of pragmatism in the office, but a man that insists that all things be done to the glory of God. And the only way that all things can be done to the glory of God is that all things be done by the Word of God. That elder is condemned. But Jehovah has His own standards, and all the standards of men be damned. A watchman Jehovah set on the walls of Zion, a watchman that Jehovah calls never to be silent in all of His work, a watchman that Jehovah praises, therefore, in the text. With regard to such a glorious gift to the Church of Jesus Christ, as a faithful watchman, Jehovah says, I set watchmen on thy walls, O Zion. A watchman is an official position in which that office bearer is the visible representative of the invisible God. A watchman in the Old Testament was an office bearer of the king. The king had the ultimate control and the ultimate responsibility for the safety and welfare of the city. The king delegated his labor to watchmen, and the king called the watchmen to carry out their labor faithfully to him. God is king of the church. God is king of the church through Jesus Christ. God in Christ is the sole ruler and Lord in the church. And God here says that his visible representative of Him as the invisible God, is these watchmen. For the office bearer, this point must be crucial. There are times when the office bearer hangs nearly his entire work on this point, and it carries him through many difficult troubles. He is appointed by God. To God he will answer. By God he is judged. From God he seeks his approval. Doubt. Doubt about the calling. Whether the man is installed into office by God's church, and consequently of God Himself, is crippling to the office bearer. That is why that is the very first question in the question that is asked to the office bearers. That is the foundation and basis of their entire existence and work in the office. If they forget that for a moment, if they forget that they are installed by God, and to God they will answer, and by God they will be judged, they will be crippled. Their work will be flawed. They will seek other ways than the glory of God to do their work in the office. I set watchmen on thy wall, O Zion. That God set watchmen on the walls of Zion gives to those watchmen two crucial qualifications. First of all, that God set watchmen on the walls of Zion means that God gives the watchman the right to do his work. No one may question him with regard to his oversight, his inspection, and his admonition in the Church of Jesus Christ. God told him to do it. God gave him the right to do it. By membership in the church, one promises to submit to it. No one may say to the office bearer, why are you talking to me? Why are you looking into my white life? Why are you asking me those questions? If you don't want the inspection of the office bearers, leave. Leave and go somewhere where you can live on your own. In God's church, office bearers have the right to have oversight in the church. Secondly, that God set office bearers, watchmen on the walls of Zion, gives to those office bearers the power to do their work. They are qualified by God. God did not set them into office because God found that they had some qualifications that He needed in the church. God did not set them into office because God found that they had some wisdom or some insight that God needed for His church. God set them into office and God qualifies them for the office. God gives them all the gifts, talents, and powers that they need to do their work. And that work is what defines the watchman. The elder here is not called an elder. The elder is called a watchman. And that's because the elder is being defined by his work. It is true that the office of elder is a position. It is a position in which one is authorized and qualified to function as the visible representative of the invisible God. But that office, that position, has a work. The office bearer who is installed into office and will not do the work, that office bearer is an unfaithful office bearer by definition. He has work. His work isn't to walk down the middle aisle of the church on Sunday in his Sunday best to adorn the bench of the elders. His work is not to parade in the back of the church, to glad hand every man and to smile at every member. His work is to be a watchman. That defines the office. A watchman. A watchman had two basic works. He had to make the circuit of those walls or guard his particular section of wall and look out. He was charged with looking out for any danger that would come and threaten the city. And in looking out, he was charged then also, if he saw the danger, to sound an alarm. He had to sound an alarm so that everybody would take note, take cover, prepare for a defense. And if someone did not, and they were killed by the enemy, that was their own fault. Their blood was on their own head. But if the watchman did not sound the alarm, he saw the danger and he kept quiet. He saw the danger and he looked away. If someone was killed, their blood was on his head. The watchmen of the church are charged by God with looking out. They have to look outside the church. They have to look in the world. They have to be familiar with what's going on in the world. What are the trends in the world? They have to look out at the church world surrounding their particular Zion. What are the trends in that church world? What are the false doctrines? What threatens the church? And when they see a threat, they had better sound an alarm. If they don't, they are chargeable with the blood of all who fall to that threat. And if they sound an alarm, and you or I do not take heed, and we perish in that threat, us or our children, our blood is on our own head. We were warned. But the watchman also has a charge to look in. He was an inspector of the city. He made his rounds on the walls of Zion, looking down into the various quarters of the city, looking at the various houses, looking at all the nooks and crannies of Zion. There, watching out for danger. He was authorized by God from that wall to deliver anyone that he saw oppressed If he saw in the city some rich man oppressing a poor man, he could deliver the poor man. If he saw in the city some evil being perpetrated in a dark alley of the city, he was authorized to go execute vengeance on the evildoer. He could punish the disobedient. He could warn the unruly. He was chargeable with the behavior of all in the city. He was a guardian in the most comprehensive sense of the word, so that he would cleanse from evildoers the city of the Lord. God set those watchmen with their calling to watch out and in on Zion's walls. Zion was Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the city of God. God dwelt there. That was the only reason Jerusalem mattered. Jerusalem would have been no special city at all, just as Jerusalem is no special city today. There's nothing special about Jerusalem at all. God burnt it down, tore it, stone, and sowed salt over it because of Jerusalem's apostasy and wickedness and rejection of his son. Jerusalem only mattered because God was there. The triune God revealed himself there in the temple as the God of the whole earth for the sake of his elect covenant people. His elect covenant people that he consecrated to himself in devoted love through the sacrifice of the temple, so that he drew his people to himself in love. And he consecrated his people to himself in love by that sacrifice. And he washed his people from their sins, the guilt of their sins and the pollution and the dominion of their sins. And he ruled among his people there by his grace and his Holy Spirit. And because God is there, that brings out two realities about Jerusalem. First of all, because God is there and Jerusalem is the city of God and the people of God, Jerusalem is hated by the ungodly world. That's why there's threats from outside. Jerusalem exists in the midst of a hostile world. Babylon, Assyria, Egypt. The church exists in the midst of a wicked and ungodly world. The church is the enemy of Satan and of all the principalities and powers of Satan and of all the ungodliness and false doctrine of Satan. The church is the enemy of the false church and false doctrine. And they are always attacking the church. And furthermore, because God is in Jerusalem, Jerusalem is a holy city. Jerusalem wasn't a den of thieves. Jerusalem wasn't a city where ungodliness was overlooked, excused, mitigated. Jerusalem was a holy city because God was there. The watchman was tasked with uprooting, casting out the wicked and the evildoer from God's holy city. The watchman was tasked with mentioning there the name of God. That watchman, because he's a watchman on the wall of Zion, that watchman carried out
his task wholly uniquely. There were no watchmen like the watchmen on Zion's walls in the whole world. The text makes mention of the unique way in which the watchmen on Zion's walls did their job. The text says, "Ye that make mention of the Lord." As a servant of the Lord, as a visible representative of the invisible Lord, the watchman carried out his task by making mention of the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is simply God's revelation of himself as God. That revelation of himself as God in Zion, too, had this added element. He revealed himself there as the Lord, Jehovah, the I am that I am. His revelation of himself was the revelation of himself as the God who loved his people, as the God who promised to save his people from their sins and bring them to heavenly glory, as the God who was the God of his people, as the God who was ever faithful to his promise. That was the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord there in Zion was this, the revelation of God as the God who brought his people into his fellowship, wholly and exclusively by a sacrifice that forgave all their sins. The name of the Lord in Zion was the name of the Lord as that name was revealed in the calling of his God to his people to be holy as he was holy. That was the name of the Lord too. And the watchman carried out his task in Zion by making mention of that name of the Lord. Literally, the text says, cause to remember. In everything that you do, as you make your rounds on the walls of Zion, as you look out and as you look and inspect within the city, when you see danger without and you warn of that danger, you make sure that they know the name of the Lord. That they know him as the God of a faithful promise. That they know him as the omnipotent, sovereign, unchanging God. You make sure they remember that. And when you make inspection in the city and you're making your rounds in the city, and you're going to speak about something that's happening in the city, you make sure that they know the name of the Lord. Call them to the truth. Teach them the truth. Make them to know the truth. That's what he's saying. In that, making mention of the name of the Lord, they reveal what was the power of their work. The power of their work was the Lord himself. The name of the Lord is the Lord. The Lord in all his gracious and full revelation of himself as the God of our salvation. And when they make mention of that name, they speak that name. God comes in that word. That's why when an elder comes and an elder speaks to you in the name of the Lord, you are no longer dealing with a mere man. You're dealing with God. God has just showed up at your house or at a meeting with you. God has a word for you. God speaks through that word. God is in that word. You can ignore that word if you want. Then you ignore the living God. You can get angry at that word if you want, but then you get angry at the living God. You can despise that word if you want, but then you despise the living God. Nothing less than that is the seriousness of the work of the elder. When he comes and he makes mention of the name of the Lord, of course, if he comes and all he has is a bunch of good ideas from his own brain, you ought respectfully tell him that. Zion doesn't submit to the word of man. Zion doesn't listen to the word of man. The word of man doesn't amount to a hill of beans in Zion. The only thing that matters is God's word. Zion bows to no one but God. But when they come and bring the name of God, that's very serious business. And in all their work, they are to do nothing but make mention of the name of God. They're to speak the truth and bring the truth to bear on every situation and the lives of every member of the church. And they'll never stop watching. They'll never hold their peace. Notice that. That's not an if. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Zion, which shall never hold their peace. When God, in His grace and mercy toward Zion, in His love for Zion, God puts an office bearer on the walls of Zion, God moves that office bearer so he will never shut up. If you want him to shut up, you're going to have to kill him. That's how they got the prophets to shut up. When the prophets came as watchmen, they stoned them. They sawed them in half. They beat them to death. But they had to kill them. Because God says, I set watchmen on thy walls, O Zion, which shall never hold their peace. They won't. Those watchmen that are always watching, to whom God gives a hypervigilance, those watchmen God always makes vocal. The standard of a good watchman is a watchman that won't be quiet. First of all, he's always looking around. He's always checking out. He's always examining. And when he sees, he always speaks. Now that is not valued at all today. I know that from personal experience. That isn't valued at all today. Nice dumb dog. What many like. Nice dumb dog that'll let them live however they want. Never ask any hard questions at family visitation. Never really warns. Danger comes, he keeps his mouth shut. A good egg, they say, a good egg. Such a watchman is not from God. Well, maybe in his wrath. The watchmen God sets are loud and vocal. That's maybe one of the main points in the text about these watchmen. They make mention of the name of the Lord. They're talking always of God. They do not keep silence. Then God says to them, do not keep silence. They're active, he says, day and night. That's a ceaselessly vocal watchman. They must always talk. That's over against the powerful pressures on the watchman to keep his mouth shut. God urges, he exhorts, yea, he commands in the strongest possible language those watchmen not to be quiet. That's because there are pressures on the watchmen to be quiet. There's pressure because in his circuit of the walls, he uncovers that some powerful and influential member of the church is caught in a scandalous situation. And maybe that powerful and influential member of the church tries to pay off the watchman. Now you keep quiet about this, and I'll make sure your life goes well in the church. Or the watchman on his circuit of the walls, probably in the slums, uncovers oppression. Some powerful member from an influential family, perhaps, is oppressing some bum. Someone that can't make any trouble in the church. They don't have any position. And there's pressure from that powerful and influential family for the office bearer to keep his mouth shut. You just keep on your way now. This has been going on for a long time. This is the way we do things around here. Don't you say anything. Or the office bearer is so threatened, and that's not out of the realm of possibility. That's reality. He's so threatened. He's so hounded. And he's so troubled by the wicked in the church that he collapses in a heap and he can't speak. There's pressures on the watchman to be quiet. Or the majority, whether that be the majority in a consistory or council room, or majority at classis, or a majority at synod, or a majority in the church. The majority in the church is bent on going contrary to the name of God. And there's one man, or two men, or a handful of men that must speak. They must cause to be remembered the name of God. But if they do that, they're going to be outcast, and they know that. They know that full well. It's because of situations like that that God says to the watchman, keep not silence. Because there is an almost continual pressure upon the office bearer and the watchman to be quiet. But you understand that trait, that spiritual and godly trait of the office bearer is not of the office bearer himself. That's of God. When God puts a man on the wall and calls him to be a watchman, God fires that man by His Holy Spirit. God makes that man sensitive to the name of God and to the holiness of God and to the word and truth of God, and that it is as impossible for that man to keep quiet as it is impossible for a pot not to boil that's put on a steaming flame. The Spirit simply fires him and moves him. He couldn't keep quiet. If he kept quiet, he'd be destroyed. That's the standard by which an office bearer is to be measured. Does he make mention of the name of God in all of his work? Is he interested only in the glory and the truth of God in all of his work? Men despise it. God praises it. Men tire of it. God delights in it. Men mischaracterize it. But God calls it good. God says it pleases him. When a watchman is ceaselessly vocal. Besides, for a watchman to be quiet is fatal. It's fatal to him personally. Because God put him there for no other reason than to speak. And if he will not, then that God who put him there will judge him for his cowardly silence. It's fatal for a watchman to be silent for Jerusalem. Jerusalem is established by God, and Jerusalem is made a praise in the whole earth by God through vocal watchmen. The very security and flourishing of Jerusalem is the work of God through vocal watchmen. Watchmen who are dumb dogs, who cannot speak, their shepherds who cannot understand, are the ruin of Zion. Still more, a silent watchman is pathetic. He's a coward who by flight and disgrace, by his own unfaithfulness, commits a grievous breach of trust. How pathetic that a man is raised up for one purpose and one purpose only. Speak already. In the name of God. It's God who sent you. It's God who calls you. And they fear puny men. And they fear not God. And they fall silent. What a pathetic, living oxymoron. Silent watchman. God set very different watchmen on Zion's walls. Watchmen that are never quiet. And he speaks to Jerusalem about them. When he says, I set them there, he calls Jerusalem to recognize that the existence of such a watchman is God's work. And if Jerusalem does not receive that watchman from God, Jerusalem resists and opposes God Himself. These watchmen, O Jerusalem, these watchmen will offend the dilettante's delicate sensibilities. They'll call out the hypocrite. When they see someone departing, they're going to bend every effort to warn them and caution them against their ruin. They're fearless men. Men who go in when the bullets are flying and the flames are burning and do not care one iota for their own life. Reputation, honor, or glory. They're gods. They're gods wholly and exclusively. He gave them to you. He gave them to you because His purpose is to establish Zion and to make Zion the praise of the whole earth. And whether men receive them or not doesn't really matter. And I say to the office bearers, new and old, the old I remind, the new I inform. Because you speak, you will not be liked. You will lose friends. You will be evil spoken of. Your work will be criticized. You can count on it. Not by all, not even by the majority, but by a significant and vocal minority. That ought not matter. That ought not influence you in the least in your work. It's Jehovah is all that matters. And in your office, ye that make mention of the Lord, don't give Jehovah any rest. The watchman who is always watching and who is always vocal is also always praying. That's what Isaiah says when he says, give him no rest. That's God's word. That's the prophet's word to the office bearer in his work. In all the difficulties, in all the troubles, with all the issues that you face, every day, every week, every month, every year, do not give Jehovah any rest. Call on Him. Pray to Him. Beseech Him. The office bearer is a man of prayer. He's a man of prayer because he recognizes that the work is not his, but Jehovah's. It's Jehovah's city. It's Jehovah's people. It's Jehovah's office. It's Jehovah's work. Don't give him any rest. Call on him. The office bearer is a man of prayer because the office bearer recognizes his work amounts to nothing if he does not have the Spirit and Word of God. He calls on Jehovah for His Spirit and Word, to work by His Spirit and Word among Jehovah's people, to forgive their sins, to turn the impenitent, to give a blessed outcome to some hopeless situation, to bless Zion, to establish Zion, to make Zion a place of peace and prosperity and goodness. The clear revelation of the name of God. God commits that work to watchmen. And the watchmen in turn commit it to God. And they give Him no rest. God gave you such watchmen, O Zion. Receive them. Amen. Our Father in heaven, bless Thy word, that we may hear it and receive it. And bless these men Thou hast raised up in our midst with wisdom, courage, Thy Spirit and word, that they may always make mention of Thy name, and that they may give Thee no rest for our sake. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.